In Bible school, the kids will be learning about, you see the shack up here with the telescope pointing out, and what they're going to be talking about is seeing God in all of creation, not just looking up at the stars and the moon, but also all around us, that we see God in all of creation. Have you ever noticed that? No matter where you go, you can see the handiwork of God. We call that theologically general revelation. It's God showing himself in his creation. You look at, you look at just a human being and you go, okay, that didn't develop by accident. How does this happen? And you recognize the mark of a creator. David talks about this in Psalm 19. If you have your Bible, you can read along with me. He writes this, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." What David is saying, even then, he's saying, I can look up to the skies and I can see God. I look around at nature and I see God. The everything, all of creation, it doesn't speak. There's no words, but I hear this voice and I recognize there's something greater out there. And then he goes on to a specific example. He talks about the sun in the second part of verse 4. He says, "In them he set out a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat." So he talks about general revelation, and then he specifically talks about the sun being an example of general revelation. And we can see this in human history. We can even see this now. If you go to the deepest, darkest jungle, and there you find a tribe, you know what you'll find? You will find people who were designed to be worshipers. And you know what they're doing? They worship. Because they have been created to worship. But here's the problem. They're not sure what to worship. Because general revelation just gets us to this point where we go, there is something greater than me. So we've seen civilizations throughout human history time and time again go, I don't know what that big glowing orb in the sky is, but it's here every single day. And it seems to provide us with what we need. That must be God. That must be God. So general revelation takes us to the point where we can see God everywhere, but we're not sure who he is. David goes on in verse 7 now to talk about a different kind of revelation. It's what we would call specific revelation. This is God revealing himself to us through his word. He says this in verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." So not only does David in this Psalm 19 talk about general revelation, the ability to look around and see God, he also talks about specific revelation, that God has not left himself unknown. He has revealed to us who he is in Scripture, through his word. Through his word, we know what he expects from us, who he is, who his son is, how much we need Jesus Christ. All of that we know from his word. What else I want you guys to see is that David responds not to general revelation, but to specific. Look at the end of this psalm, verse 12 through 14. "Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So he talks about general revelation, then he talks about specific revelation, and he says, as a result of seeing all of creation and now knowing who God is, I recognize that God must do a work in me. That is the power of the Word of God. We can see God's handiwork everywhere. Now, some of us might deny it. Some of us might say, it's not God. There's no such thing as God. But it keeps at us. Everywhere we look in the sky and around us at other humans, we see God's handiwork. But then in his word is how we get to know him. That's why at this church, we teach the word of God. We pull out of the word of God. We encourage you to read your Bibles, because to understand it for yourself is more valuable than gold, according to David. Nothing changed my life more, guys, than I grew up in this church, as you guys know. But one thing I never really did was read the Bible. I memorized what I was supposed to memorize. I listened when I was supposed to listen. I did all those sorts of things. And then I got to college, kind of did my own thing. And me and a group of friends said, you know what? Let's try actually reading the thing, you know, see what happens. So we started in the New Testament because we didn't want to read the Old Testament. And we started reading the New Testament and reading through these Gospels, and guys, it absolutely changed who I was. Not just on the surface, but on the inside. God began to work through his word. God's word, his special revelation, is so important, so vital. That's why we also not just teach the word of God, but that's why we support organizations that are helping to take it to other parts of the world. Organizations like Wycliffe Bible Translators comes to mind. They translate, their goal is to translate the Bible into every dialect of every language spoken on the face of this planet. Another one that often comes to mind is who's going to be speaking us today, and that's the Gideons. Gideons International is responsible for, I'll let him tell you some of those details, but handing out a lot of Bibles. We'll just leave it at that. I'll let him tell you the number. But part of their mission, actually the whole mission, is them spreading this word that we have said is so important. So I'd like for you to welcome our very own Gary Cooper, so he can come up and tell us what Gideons are up to right now, and then talk about how we can be involved in spreading the word of God as well. So Gary, come on up.
I don't need your Bible. I don't want your Bible. Those are the words of a college student who had just received a copy of God's Word on a campus as he turned and angrily threw that testament up on the roof of a nearby building. The next day, the Gideons were at a different part of the campus doing a distribution, and a man came running up. He says, "Thank you so much for the Bible you gave me yesterday." The Gideon was confused. He said, "I don't remember seeing you. I don't remember giving you a Bible." He said, "Oh, yes, you did. I was repairing the roof, and you threw a Bible up there for me." He said, "I've read that," and he said, "I've decided to follow this Christ. Today, I bring you greetings from your missionaries called Gideon, some 302,000 in over 200 countries, passing out copies of God's word in over 100 different languages. We thank you. But there are millions worldwide, thank you, because if it was not for your support, they would never have seen a copy of God's word. This past year, with your help, we were able to distribute over 87 million copies of God's word as we went into schools, hospitals, military bases, prisons, jails, emergency relief centers, the Pike County Fair, Elizabeth Hope, the Domestic Violence Center. You could go on and on, the areas that we're able to distribute God's word. You know, we're able to distribute something like 1.5 million copies every 7 days. That's like 2.5 copies every second. So somewhere in the world, every time your heart beats, there's 2 copies being given away to men and women, boys and girls that want a copy. Two. But yet the need worldwide is so great. You know, what we do is, with your support of churches, we raise funds, we buy Bibles, and we give them away. That's what we do. We give them away and tell others about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We place Bibles in their hands so that God's word can penetrate their hearts. That's what we do. In the United States, people desperately need to know the Lord. It's estimated there's over 200 million unsaved people here in the United States. Amazingly, the United States is now the world's third largest mission field. When you walk down the street today, probably two out of every three people you meet will not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yet in other countries like Colombia, India, China, the Christian church is growing astronomically, dramatically. In China, where there's been like 3.5 million copies of God's word distributed, it's estimated that as many as 1,000 people a day are being converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 40, verse 5 says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. They are more than can be numbered." These are challenging times, but God still is at work. Still at work, changing hearts and lives. You know, hotel distributions have been a major distribution area for Gideon's. A recent change in the Hilton management chain, Hilton has decided, and Hilton owns like 12 different hotel brands. They've decided that they no longer want Bibles in their hotel rooms. They say that if you want one, there's some at the front desk that you can come and ask for. Just ask you to pray as Gideon International continues to negotiate with Hilton that this policy could be changed. And also, if you stay in one of their hotels and there's not a Bible in your room, make sure you go down and ask for one. You know, the Minister of Cultural Affairs in India, new man on that job, he's passed a law that states that the country of India, by the year 2021, will only allow the Hindu religion in India. There are millions of Christians, active Christians in India. So pray for their safety. Pray for their freedom, that they can continue to worship. You know, Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Behold and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, even though it be told you." Now I want to make this loud and clear. It's not the Gideons that are special. There's nothing special about the Gideons. It's the God that we serve that changes hearts, and changes lives, as we rely on his promises that his word will not return in void, but it will accomplish those things for which it was sent, as stated in Isaiah 55:11. I want you to go with me now to a video to see the lives of some people whose lives have been dramatically changed as a result of reading a copy of God's word and the Holy Spirit working in their hearts and lives and changing their life.
I got involved with drugs, alcohol, prostitution. I was just trying to find something to fill the void that was in my life. I thought maybe if I had more things or had more drugs, maybe that would be the solution, but it wasn't. It was a park similar to this right here, occupied by homeless. And I remember that Saturday morning, I had got up early, took a couple of hits of acid, tooted some coke, and I went for a walk in that county park in Battle Creek, Michigan. Here I was, a reject from the military. My third wife had walked out on me, and I just felt there's nothing else left but to commit suicide. But then there were some men in the park that day. They was witnessing to the homeless, and they were giving them these little testaments. And one of them came up to me, had a big smile on his face, and he said, "Do you know Jesus?" And that young man, he took that little testament and he opened it, and he showed me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And I personalized that. "For God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he gave his only begotten son." Then he opened it to the book of Romans and he showed me how I can pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. It was that day I prayed. I asked Jesus to forgive me. I asked him to come into my heart, clean up my life, and to make me somebody. And the Lord heard that prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer. And I want you to know I was instantly healed from my dependency of drugs. And the rehab centers didn't do it, but when I asked Jesus to come into my life was cleaned up, and I was clear-headed of the drugs. And you know, for the first time, that void that I had been carrying around all of my life, all of a sudden I felt like a new person. I felt whole. I felt complete.
I got involved in drugs while I was in dental school, thinking that I could do both, be a graduate student by day and doing drugs and partying. Well, this whole time, my parents, they had been a Christian for several years now and just had really grown in their faith. My parents knew the only way they would be able to see me, since I wanted nothing to do with them. They actually flew down to Atlanta one time, and after the second day, I kicked them out. But my dad, he wanted to give me something, and it was his very first Bible. And he left it on my kitchen counter. But as soon as they left, I took his Bible and I threw it in the trash can. My mom prayed that God would do whatever it takes to bring this prodigal son to the Father. Well, this miracle, this answer to prayer came one day with a bang on my door. I opened up my door, and on my front doorstep were 12 federal drug enforcement agents, Atlanta police, and two big German Shepherd dogs. I just received a large shipment of drugs, and they confiscated all my money and my drugs, and I was charged with a street value equivalent of 9.1 tons of marijuana. I was walking around the cell block, and I passed by this garbage can, and as I looked at that garbage can, I felt like I was looking at my own life. And I was about to pass by that garbage can, but something on top of the trash caught my eye. I bent over, and I picked it up, and it was a Gideon's New Testament. I took that New Testament back to my cell, and for the very first time, I opened up that New Testament and I read through the entire Gospel of Mark. And as I know today, what we have in our Bibles is not just ink on paper, but what we have in our Bibles is the very breath of God. And it's living and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. And as I began to read God's word, it began to penetrate me. And it began to cut through my stubborn, hard heart. He revealed his plan for my life. And he called me full-time ministry while I was in prison. So the greatest miracle of this whole story is that actually Moody accepted me. I was released from prison in July of 2001. And I started the very next month. I'm teaching now back at Moody in the Bible department. So I tell people I went from prisoner to professor. Only God can do that.
Truly, only God can do that. His word is powerful. You know, it's estimated that there's over 4 billion Bibles have been printed since the invention of the printing press. It is a fact that Gideon's International has distributed over 2 billion copies since 1908. Remember I said, there's nothing special about the Gideons. How is that feat accomplished? It all began with the prayers of John Nicholson's mother. She prayed faithfully. She taught John to pray, taught him to read his Bible. She asked John to faithfully promise her that he would continue to pray and read his Bible no matter where he was. John was faithful in daily Bible reading and prayer. And on a business trip in a crowded hotel, he pulled out his Bible and began to read. Soon there was two other men pulled out their Bibles, and they began to read and to pray together. John Nicholson, Samuel Hill, and William Knight decided to form a prayer, a testimony, and a witnessing organization to promote the spiritual growth of traveling businessmen. They prayerfully named the organization the Gideons, based on the life of Gideon in Judges 6, when Gideon was obedient to God's call, go, send I you. In 1908, the Gideons, at the request of pastors, completed the first hotel Bible distribution. The pastors came to the Giddings said, if you will put the Bibles in the hotels, we will provide the Bibles. And that began this partnership of churches with the Giddings. You know, the Giddings are, we're a missionary arm, an outreach ministry of the local church, but we only have one objective, the same as the church, and that is to win the lost to Christ. And we endeavor to do this by associating ourselves together for work and for accountability to one another, and also for personal witnessing and distribution of his word. You know, the Gideon ministry is not a volunteer ministry. We feel like we've been called to this ministry. We're called to God's call to witness and to distribute his word. And we pray to the Father that he will open ways to accomplish his plan. He uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary feats. Acts 12, 24 says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. You know, the Gideons were not a Bible distribution society. We're not a meet and eat club. We only work together for one purpose, and that's to win others for Christ. We focus on that only. Now, I'm going to come close to preaching here, but I'm not. But the Gideons rely on seven spiritual objectives. These seven spiritual objectives should apply to every believer's life. The first one is that we are to be men and women of the book. That's found in Romans 1:6. We're to be men and women of faith, Colossians 4:2. We're to be men and women of prayer, Ephesians 2:8-9. Be men and women of a separated walk, as in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be men and women of a compassionate heart, 1 Peter 3:8. Be men and women who witness, Acts 1:8. And be men and women who give, 1 Chronicles 29:11. When God's man hears God's voice and he obediently follows him, to God be the glory. This is the reason that this ministry continues to be an effective worldwide missionary organization as a missionary arm of the local church. To God be the glory. You know, God's word is so powerful. You know, here in Ohio, we can no longer distribute God's word in the schools that we used to, but God has raised up another program called the Life Book, which this is the book of John. This is a program focused on teenagers, and it's designed for peer-to-peer witnessing and distribution aid. Pastors, youth pastors, and our pastor Matt here, I think already is using some of these. It's designed to train our youth how to witness. It also bolsters their confidence there in their own faith. You know, our U.S. Constitution gives our students the right to distribute religious information on a peer-to-peer basis in a local school. A church can receive 1,500 copies of these free. You know, it's estimated 85% of the people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, come to the Lord before they're age 14. We must reach our youth of today who are going to be our leaders of tomorrow. Over 80%, I know you know the organization is the men who put Bibles in hotels, but over 80% of our total scriptures are distributed to youth in the world. God's word is life-changing. You know, God's word brings salvation. Romans 1:16 says, it is the power of God for salvation. A testimony says, my family was crashing against a wall of evil, says Matthew. One day he noticed a Gideon placed Bible in a hospital in Maine where he worked as an MD. He began reading and realized God's word was truth. He surrendered his life to the Lord. In time, his wife and children were all come to know the Lord as well. God's word is transformational. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and it's active. A guerrilla military group intercepted a team of Gideons in the middle of a Colombian jungle. One of the Gideons spoke up, you have no fear because of those guns you carry. We have no fear because we carry God's word. Your troops are numerous. I would like to empower them with God's word. The guerrillas then led the Gideons to their base camp. That evening, Gideon shared scriptures and led hundreds of soldiers to the Lord. God's word brings hope. Romans 15:4 says, and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Ravi was raised in an upper caste Hindu family in India. In college, he became depressed and planned to return home and commit suicide. On the journey, Gideon gave him a New Testament and shared the gospel with him. After he arrived at home, rather than commit suicide, he began to read the Bible, and he became a born-again believer of Jesus Christ. And today, he shares the gospel through the Gideon ministry. God's word is powerful and life-changing. Last month, the Gideons did a distribution in the Dominican Republic, and they went to a police station. And after they had presented testaments to the police officers, they asked if they could speak with the prisoners. They were given permission, and there was only one guy there. And his name was Carlos. And as they approached Carlos, the Gideon says, I had no idea what had gone on in Carlos' life, but he said, I felt impressed to read Psalm 27 to him, which says, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord would take me in. It says, after a few moments, Carlos shared the story of his life. His father had died when he was age 2. His mother abandoned him. And it says, as such, he grew up as a young man with no family, no love, no guidance, no social acceptance. And here he was at age 18, trapped behind bars, dejected, bitter, totally depressed. He said the passage from the Psalms must have moved him, he said, because with a heart broken, but touched by the power of the message of God, when he listened to the plan of salvation, Carlos accepted Christ as his Savior. He says, in one simple, honest moment, the life of this young man was changed. Now, he will face many problems in life, but now he has ultimate peace. How awesome is that? He has a God. He has a Father who will love him as an earthly father, more than an earthly father, to give him confidence and peace. You know, I often wondered how God would get his word to the ends of the earth. I never dreamed it would be on a cell phone. Gideon's International now has a free cell phone application that you can download the Word of God in 1,133 different languages, complete with all the help section that the printed copies have. Many third world countries have cell phone service. They don't even have electricity. The signal comes off a satellite. They charge their cell phone batteries by a generator or by solar power. And now on a college distribution or at the Pike County Fair, we'll be handing out two versions of the Bible. We'll be asking, do you want a paper copy or do you want a digital copy? And pastors, where they used to say, take out your Bibles, now they may say, get your cell phone. And that person next to you is probably not texting. They're probably reading a copy of God's word on their cell phone. Another application, something that's been provided by Gideon's International. You know, how can you be a part of this ministry? How can you help? Well, continue to use the Gideon card program. Send a card, send the word, change a life. And many of you do. The card program is cards for all occasions, in honor, in memory, praying for you, pastor. Congratulations on your day. It's very simple to use. There's a card, there's an envelope for you to use. Just simply put your check and check off how many Bibles that you want to dedicate for that particular person. And encourage you to use that program. And rest assured that 100%, 100 cents on the dollar of all the money that comes through the card program or through church donations is used to purchase and place copies of God's word. 100%. All of the overhead expenses are paid for by the Gideons through our membership dues and our personal donations. Continue to use the card program. And then I would pray that you continue to pray for your missionaries called Gideons. First of all, pray for your missionaries called Gideons that we would remain faithful to the task that's been set before us. And then there may be somebody here today, people here today that would like to become a friend of Gideon's. This could be men, women, friend of Gideon's. You can be simply be a prayer partner or you can be a financial partner. And as a friend, you'll get updates, you'll get invitation to Gideon events, and you'll get copies of testimonies, some like I've shared today. So if anybody would like to become a partner with Gideon, see me, and I'll be glad to explain that program to you. I'm going to share one testimony here with you that is a personal testimony. You know, some years ago I had the opportunity to go to Columbia on a Bible distribution. I know some of you heard this testimony before, but I'm going to share it again. And there we had the opportunity to meet several pastors who had formerly been drug dealers before they were converted to Christ. One pastor told this story. He said there was a girl, fifth grader, had received a copy of God's Word. She was so proud of that, she took it home, shared it with her dad, and he took it away from her, stuffed it down in his pocket. He says, "Don't read this book, it'll cause you to go crazy." That afternoon, he was a supervisor in a deep shaft mine. He and 13 other miners went to work in that mine that day. There was an explosion, there was a cave-in. 3 days later, they recovered their bodies. In the back of that testament, on the decision page, where there is only one line, there are 14 signatures on that decision page. And in the flyleaf of that testament, there's a note from that father to his daughter. He says, "Read this book. This Jesus is real." There in the darkness of that mine, with nothing other than a miner's headlamp to illustrate God's Word. God's Word literally had leapt off the pages and penetrated the hearts and minds of those men and led them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another pastor shared this story, that he was a drug dealer before he was converted. He lived in a secure compound just for his own safety, but he had this great thirst for knowledge. He had read everything he could get his hands on. He went to one of his employees that happened to be a born-again believer, a young female employee, and he literally choked her, and he said, "Bring me something to read before I go out of my mind." She was scared. She knew he had read everything, but she knew inside a coffin there was a Bible stuffed down inside that coffin. She took it to her boss. A few days later, he called her in. He says, "Where did you get this book, and why is it so new?" She said, "It was new because it was hidden in a coffin." He said, "That's just like you believers. You keep this good news hidden. Today, I pray that I and you do not keep this good news hidden when we have the power and ability to place a copy of God's Word in the hands of men and women, boys and girls around the world that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ." The last thing I'd ask, I ask that you would give. Give as God would have you to give. You know, $135 will buy a box of 100 testaments to be placed to the boys and girls of Pike County, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Kenya, or Columbia. Today I want to thank you, congregation. Thank you, Pastor, for just giving me this time, giving Gideon's International this time, your partners in ministry, just to share how God's Word is being used in the results of lives that are being changed. May God bless you here in your ministry at First Baptist. Amen.